we are on. Hey, welcome everyone to Variety Talk, all the way from where? The Skid Row Studios. We will be reporting from these brand new studios right here in lovely downtown LA. All right, at least once a month, but definitely probably twice a month, because we are here to do what? Support not only Variety Talk, but support those who are right down here in the community. So we're going to make sure we will be bringing people on, such as those who are down here actually revising. This place is absolutely awesome. You should see the studio we're in. It is gorgeous. It is glowing. It is filled with all kind of little cute things that will make our show just fabulous. So we want to welcome everyone and for joining us. Variety Talk is all about people helping people. Your networking show, reaching one, teaching one, and that's what it's all about right here on Variety Talk. So you will be seeing us out on location. You'll be seeing us right here in the Skid Row Studios down here, and we might get right out there with the people and talk to them. And then we will be in other studios as well, during other days of the week, and we will keep you posted on that as well. So welcome, everyone. Happy to have you. And for all of you back there in the crazy, crazy Midwest and East Coast, we pray for you. Blessings, because we know it is absolutely just a challenge. But guess what? Spring is almost here. So anyway, just hang in there, everybody. And this feels quite different. I'm here without my fingers all on the boards and everything. We've got Jeremy back there running the boards, and all I get to do is just be Lady Linda and just hang out and talk. So, all right, I guess I'm like a real talk show host now with two free hands. So anyway, everyone, in case you've been sleeping up under a rock, you're sitting in with Lady Linda right here on Variety Talk, and we've got a very special show for you this afternoon. We've got since we're redoing everything, you'll be seeing us all over the place. I mean, we just came from the Oscars, and we'll talk to you about all the great interviews that we had. But you will be seeing us on Time Warner and Charter and Dish and all these other networks. And, you know, so we'll keep you posted and tell you where to stay tuned. But in the meantime, in between time, one of the people who will play a very significant role about how beautiful these different segments will be coming out will be one of our hosts sitting with us today. We thought we'd begin our new show by introducing you to some of the team members, and you'll be seeing them coming on throughout the weeks. We'll just be bringing them on, and we've got a wonderful team that's just really coming together and being set up in a wonderful way. So we will start with I don't know what to call him. This is an all-around person. I mean, he is the man that just makes everything happen, okay? For lack of better words, that's all I can say. And so this gentleman has been with us for at least the past, three, 4 months. And he is from the Bronx, everybody. I don't think I know how to say that right, but, you know, with that Bronx accent. He's from New York, and he is an Air Force vet. And he is now a photojournalist, and he is also an activist for what? Everybody. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce to you our wonderful camera person on location and off, Mr. P.A. Edmond Jr. Hey, welcome to the show, P.A.
Welcome.
Welcome. Oh, thank you. I get welcome too. Okay. See, that's what happens when you take a cameraman from behind the camera and put him right in front. So how's it going?
You know, as cameramen don't talk much.
I know. You're just the all-around guys that make sure that you make everything happen. And I want to begin by just thanking you for all of the effort that you have put out there. You just go out there beyond and above duty in terms of making sure that everything that has to happen with the show happens. And you're not the kind of person that doesn't sit back and say, oh, that's not my job. You know, you just see it, that it needs to be done, and you do it. So we commend you, P.A. Ed Mead, and we welcome you down here to these brand-new, beautiful Skid Row Studios. And what's happening with you on this beautiful March afternoon?
It's really good. Traffic accident on the way coming up on 110, which... Excuse me, that's happens a lot out here.
I know, huh? It's pretty deep, isn't it? L.A., La La Land. If you ask anyone from L.A. and you say, okay, what is the, like, biggest, most thing that you hate the worst, despise the worst, I would say that 98% out of 100 would say the traffic.
It's really bad. Last night I witnessed, well, right behind a witnessing of a car knocking down a traffic light, knocked it about 3 feet down the street. And if I was a little 10 minutes earlier, I'd probably been hit by the traffic light as it flew through the air. But it happens a lot out here.
Wow.
And this isn't clear. It's dry.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable how people get distracted with the I don't know what, that they can hit, have accidents all the time. And you have to really stay 2-3 cars behind the guy in front of you because you just don't know.
No, you don't. You really don't. And I know I've been out here since the 80s. And I guess I better not say that because I'll be dating myself. But I've been out here for quite some time. And in the past, people would say, well, what do you like or hate the best about or the worst about L.A.? And I would say the smog and the traffic. But, you know, I think the air has been cleaned up for like years, huh? I mean, I used to wake up and, honest to God, my eyes used to burn. My eyes, and I lived right there right in the heart of L.A., so that's where the smog was the heaviest. But it's pretty amazing that, you know, I guess I take it for granted now, because I actually, you know, don't think about smog anymore, but it used to make me so tired. And I would be just so grateful when we would have a windy day because I would feel at my best. I would feel the healthiest. And so there's some good things that's happening out there.
Let me see, on that same topic, the weather, at least now the buses used to be diesel. Now they're gas generated, so it's not so bad.
That's right. So La La Land has done a few good things. We've gone through some pretty good mayors. So PA, going back to you now, you handle all sorts of events. And first of all, before we even go into what you do, tell us about the Bronx.
The Bronx. A lot of famous people came out of the Bronx. The one that everybody really knows about is Chief of Staff Colin Powell.
All right. I didn't know that. That's great news.
He's a Bronxite.
Came out of
and that's another thing. People don't know why they call it the Bronx. It's called the Bronx because it was named after a Dutchman whose name was Bronk. And that whole area, which is hundreds of thousands of acres, belonged to one person. He was a Dutchman. New York was settled by the Dutch. That's why it was called New Netherlands at first. People from the Netherlands came over here and started in New York. And that's why it's called New York, not York. Everything came from England, which is my background also, but it started that way. It's one of the biggest boroughs. Bronx and Brooklyn are the two biggest ones. And what you want to do is see the sights from the top of the Bronx, where you can see the rest of the city from there, but nobody gets a chance to see that anymore.
Why not?
Too many houses built up. Too many skyscrapers came up. You used to be able to see the whole... It was like a castle he lived in, and you could see the whole... all of his property down below.
Oh, really? All of Colin Powell's property? That is...
All of the people who settled New York.
Oh, who settled. Okay. Well, let me ask you something. What is the biggest difference between those who live in the Bronx and those who live in Manhattan?
The accent. even though New York is one city, it's got about 4 or 5 different accents, depending what part of the city you live in. So the people in Brooklyn sound sometimes like the people in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And if you remember those movies and TV sitcoms that depicted certain parts of the city, and then there was Marla Gibbs, which was in Manhattan, when she had a room 222, they didn't have basically any accents, and it's really strange. No part of the city is separated by more than 10 miles, 15 miles. Mm-hmm. But people have different accents. They grew up in different neighborhoods. And you could tell who doesn't belong in your neighborhood very easily.
Well, I know you ended up in L.A., so I know that you had to go from the Bronx out here. But in between time, how did you end up in the Air Force as an Air Force vet?
easy eating. I didn't want to get shot. Each military has rivalry between each other. The Marines, Navy, Air Force, everybody has their own, so to say, how do we say this? Prestige, their own way of doing things, their own, I can't put a word on it, but they're independent of each other and they don't want to be associated with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like people in the Army don't want to be associated with the Marines.
How interesting, isn't it? When they're all fighting for the same country and they all the same, but everybody's got their own little clique going.
That's what it is in a way, because the Marines have to be taken care of by the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
See, the Marines don't have any transportation. They're ground pound. Well, Army's ground pounders. Marines, we call them drug heads.
Drug heads. I'm about to find out about why you got that name.
No, jug. J U G.
Oh, jug heads. Okay.
And we won't have anybody calling us with any kind of comments. This is the way it is. Don't call us up and say that we don't like what you said, but these are the nicknames they have.
Mm-hmm.
The Air Force would call flyboys, even though only maybe 10% fly. everybody else is on the ground. How do you think those planes get up in the air? The ground support.
Mm-hmm.
And then the best, if I knew what to do it all over again, I'd join the Coast Guard.
Oh, yeah. Now, see, that's when you really feel like you're doing something, because you've got, you know, one-on-one contact and you're out there and you're sticking your hand out there and you're reaching it out to the person that's drowning. So you're really feeling pretty good about things.
Yeah, that's the first line of defense, you know.
Mm-hmm.
All these other military things are way out in another country somewhere,
mm-hmm.
except for the National Guard, but the Coast Guard is out there every mm-hmm. day.
So tell us, PA, how did you go from the Air Force to being a photojournalist?
Oh, well, everybody has a hobby. My hobby was photography before I went into the Air Force. Then when I went to the Air Force, it gave me a chance to expand that and develop it even more, because you travel a little bit and you got to see more things. And no matter what military branch you go into, you meet people from all over the world. In the short time I was in the service, I met people from almost every state in the Union, because you meet them in basic training, you meet them on your next base, you meet them as they go through your base, you meet them leaving your base. So you get the chance to see and meet almost every nationality, every sector of the country, every sector of the population. And then, by meeting all these people when I came out, it made it easier for me to communicate with other people when I came out to take photography. Like even the other day at the gas station, I met a guy from the Philippines. And so you just never know how that travel helps you develop your skills, because now you have common ground with, let's say, half a dozen cultures that you would never, never have contact with before.
Mm-hmm. Well, absolutely. Well, this show is all about networking, business networking, and reach one, teach one. And so when I leave every day, oh, I've got chills just by saying that. When I leave every single time that we do a show and I leave the studio, I stop and think to myself, okay, who have I helped? You know, where is there a difference in someone else's life by me taking that 1 hour on the show and putting ourselves out there for others to see? And so what I would love to see come from your being on this show this afternoon is others who are seeking to do something with their lives. And I'm very much wanting you to be that inspiration to so many others. You know, how many people have thought about going in and using their lives as service. You were in service to all of the world, actually, but particularly to the United States, by serving in the military, in the Air Force. And you did it for how many years?
Actually, 4.
Okay, so you did it for 4 years. But I understand you worked for them for like years and years, right? Didn't you work for the federal government for years?
No, not in that capacity. No, I went from the military, I went to another of the government, but as we say, we can't talk about that. They make you sign papers.
Oh, really? That you can't go into it? Okay.
No, so they make you sign papers saying what you see here, what you hear here, stays here. And I think that's where Las Vegas got that little comment from. But they make you sign papers saying that. And so whatever you do after that, you have to, and even what you did when you were in there, you have to keep it a secret. They, what you see and what you hear, you sometimes the people didn't believe you if you told them anyway. Mm. It's a case of a lot of experimentation is going on, a lot of, okay, it's a perfect example. Everybody sees police cars out here today with a red light on the left-hand side and a red light on the right-hand side and a green, not a green, but a yellow and a blue. Mm-hmm. That was developed in the Air Force. I remember when they were doing that back in the 60s. Prior to that, police cars just had one call, we called it a bubblegum machine, in the middle of the car, on top of the roof, and that was it. But see, the military experiments on things for better visibility, for high-profile alertness and safety, and we developed that to the point where it is now, where you have a whole light bar, they call it, across the top of the police car. Mm. You know, see how you patrol, you see it, there's a light from left to right. There's a light everywhere. They even got lights on the back of their rear-view mirrors.
Wow.
All that was developed in the military because they have the money to expend and expand and research. So you'd be surprised the things you see out here. Mm. Like NASA, that's another example. All that experimentation we did in the military came to be seen by used by civilians. Perfect example. Those are the good things we can tell you about. There's bad things, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you, I know that, and that is a whole show within itself, because we know for a fact, and I think we can talk about it, because why this is a great U.S. of A, and we can say whatever we want to say. But there's a lot that we can talk about in terms of what's happening with intelligence and what's happening within the military and all that goes on that civilians have absolutely no idea that's happening. So will you be our person for that to let us know what's happening? You'll be like our little...
what we could do is there's other programs that go into this a little deeper. And what I'll do is mimic what they did, so they won't come after me. I said, hey, they told me that. It wasn't me.
There you go.
It wasn't me.
But we want to get into bringing you all the way up to the new millennium now and talking a little bit about what you're doing now, the work you're doing now as being an activist, as being a photojournalist, and what others who are actually who will be watching and listening, what they need to do in order to be at the level for which you have reached in your career?
Well, it goes back to your home training. Like, if you talk to somebody from back east, not just New York, but you'll find out that you don't tolerate a lot of mess, so to speak. You don't like to wait on long lines. You don't like things that are inefficient. You don't like things that are costly, and so you take that and you apply it to your everyday life. You go to a courtroom, you get a ticket, you fight that ticket. I say, why should you get a ticket? You know, let somebody who doesn't want to fight get that ticket. So it starts from there. Matter of fact, my father told me to during the summer go down to the courthouse and listen in to court cases. Start with traffic. Most of your teenagers and your youth will be stopped by police because of traffic, from jaywalking to parking to actually a moving violation. Right now, cell phones is a moving violation almost. It's not technically one, but these are the things you're going to mostly get encountered the first time you see a policeman. So go down to the courthouse, listen to those cases, and find out what you should do. You shouldn't do these things because they will get you. And then if they do get you, learn how to fight them. First of all, you listen, look at the back of the ticket, put in a complaint. You have to pay ahead of time, but go down there and you'll learn how to beat these tickets. So that's your first activism you should do. Your parents should have you going down there, go down there with them. They should know the same things that I just spoke about. Mm-hmm. So that's how activism starts. You're not going to take it anymore. Remember that movie a long time ago? I'm not going to take it anymore.
That's right.
Because it's even more prevalent now. These cities need money, so they have to get it through tickets. Mm-hmm. And so don't be one of those people that they get a ticket from.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, go ahead.
When you were a child, did you have I know for me, there was always a passion. I had a passion to get into broadcasting. I actually ran a television studio when I was a freshman in college. And so it was just something that I always felt. And by the way, as a freshman in college, I developed a dark room. And I would go in and put those black and white pictures. And you know that the stuff you mix up and you put in there and you shake the thing. That's what I used to do. But I really had a feeling. And I think if I would have taken that all the way up, I would have been a pretty good... Because I have an eye for beauty. And I think I would have done a pretty good job of being a photojournalist myself. But so what's that like? What was it like when you were growing up? Did you feel...
Well, we had... The advantage that they don't have out here, we had a picture, a newspaper called the Daily News. The nickname for the Daily News was called the Picture Newspaper. They had a picture almost on every page. And if they didn't, it wasn't their fault. And so I looked at these pictures all the time. My first question was, how could they hire so many photographers to cover this city the size of New York when something's going on every minute? And there's always a photographer there catching it. People falling out of windows, people being shot. They had it in the paper the next day.
Mm.
I said, how do they do that? And so that's what spurred me into photography because I got my first camera when I was about 10 years old.
Mm.
Still have it. And what happened was they don't have that many photographers. People submit pictures in to the newspaper when they see something happening. So that's how they would do it.
Interesting. Very interesting. I hear the phones ringing, so we're going to have to take a quick break right there. And we're going to cut to a quick commercial break, everybody. You are listening to Variety Talk, and you're sitting in with Mr. P.A. Edby Jr., and we are right here for the very first time in our brand-new Skid Row Studios. We'll be right back.
So crowded up in here, getting hard to breathe. Be blasting off the wall. Everybody on the dance floor getting on. Me and my boys on the Friday, we on the green. Looking for some super freaks. Ready to feel somebody heat. Back it up on me, baby. I think it's time I make my move. She bending over, touch the floor. Shake and move and let me know. No, I can't take no more.
Music turn it up, blow shaking, ass quaking, body trembling on me, can't take it. The way she moves got me stuck in a fantasy. I'm about to grind back on her and bust the scene. Bottle popping in this place, yeah, we VIP. I brought my whole team with me, West Coast G's.
Shake what your mama gave you. Twerk it, shake what your mama gave you.
I like that a lot. And everybody, you will have an opportunity to hear all about 9.9 because he will be joining us in the studios as we speak. He is on his way. Okay. So everybody just hang on and wait until you hear from Mr. James Phillips himself. All right. So we are back on our second half. And everybody, thank you so much for sitting in with us. We like to call this our first of our new shows, okay? The beginning of a great experience with all of you out there who are listening and viewing. Because, again, you will be watching us not only on iTunes, on Facebook, on YouTube, on Charter, on Time Warner, on the Pasadena Station, on Dish Network, and we are just all over the place. So check us out, everybody, right here on Variety Talk, People Helping People, your networking show. And you're sitting in with Lady Linda this afternoon. And I just happened to get up and take a tour of this studio. All right. And I took a tour of this studio, and you just can't imagine what it looks like down here, everybody. So you talk about this brand new Skid Row thing happening. Oh, man, we'll talk about that at another time. But before this show is over, we're going to bring on the man with the plan who has everything to do with this studio, and you will have a chance to talk to him yourself. All right, but we're going to switch gears just a little bit because we have someone who is on the phone, and he's going to be speaking to us this afternoon. And speaking of meeting the Variety Talk crew, you had an opportunity to meet Mr. P.A. Edmond, who will be doing on locations and off locations. And now we've got the one, the only, this man is the entertainment man himself. He brings on all the entertainment and he does all the producing for entertainment. And that is the one, the only Mr. Elijah Green. So he's on the phone. Jeremy, can we get him on? All right, Elijah, are you on?
Yes, this is Prophet Elijah. How you doing, Ms. Linda?
Well, hello, Prophet Elijah Green, and welcome to Variety Talk, and thank you for joining us this afternoon. How's it going?
Oh, I'm blessed. I'm doing good. It's a privilege to be on air with you today.
Well, it's an honor to have you as well. You know how hard this team has just stuck it out and walked together, and I'm so very proud of each and every one of you, and that's why I want to bring you all of you on and introduce everybody one by one, because God has graced us with each and every one of you who has your own beautiful talents and everything that you bring to the table to make Variety Talk happen. So we are moving a little bit away from our Disneyland studios and right down here in the mix, downtown L.A. with the people. And so we just wanted to make sure, since you couldn't be here in person this week, we'd like to have you say hello to all of the viewers and the listeners and everybody who will be checking this show out and letting them know who you are. So why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I'm Prophet Elijah Green. I'm son of Vernon Green of the Vidalians that brung people Beer 59, the letter, and Magic Mountain, and many more out there to the public.
All right. And we had an opportunity on some of our previous Variety Talk shows to play some of your dad's music, and we will certainly look forward to doing that again in the future. But this man was an icon and an actual individual who worked along with a group of people singing major, major popular songs from the 50s and the 60s. And let's not mention Lady Marie Green, who is your mom and his wife, and who actually had a 45 of her own that was pretty popular.
Oh, yeah, definitely. My mom did Can I Come Home, and it was really popular. Quick Pick of the Week with KRLA and Huggy Boy and KFFJ with Rudy Harvey.
All right.
And that was a big hit.
Well, tell Marie we said hello, and she definitely is still part of our team as well, and we can't wait to have both of you right here in the studios. And today we want to make sure we let you know that the person who is putting together our theme song that everyone has had an opportunity to listen to will be joining us right here in the studios this afternoon. Hopefully, if he gets off that 405 in time. But he shares something very similar with you, Elijah, Prophet Elijah. And that is his dad worked in the business as well and was a great singer. And both of you share something in common. And I ultimately would like to bring you both on to have this conversation about what is taking place or has taken place out there with people in the industry where songs are being stolen or the singers are not actually getting their just due in terms of what they've put out versus the monetary figures that are coming in. And so just briefly, because we don't have a lot of time, tell us a little bit about your dad and what you're fighting for right now for your dad.
Well, what's going on is the group, the Vidalians, has really betrayed me and my mom. I'm doing gigs, somebody's getting paid, sold the group name, and they've done a lot, you know. But, you know, my father really sacrificed, and being a man, a black man, that has his tires cut during the 50s, coming out of Mississippi when we went through a lot of segregation, and also being respected, highly respected by the President Roosevelt in 1944 at the Community Chess Building in Hollywood. And the President bent down to his knees and placed a pair of leg braces on his knees, you know, on my father's ankles. Mm. And in return, my dad sung the national anthem for him, and it was our show, Margaret O'Brien, that in movies with Elizabeth Taylor and many more people. I reunited myself with her 2 years ago when I was in the Black LA Black Signal newspaper. You know, my father has done a lot of great things, and he has experienced a lot of bad things when he was living and when he was even dead now, you know, how people are doing. But, you know, it happens. But we're still blessed, and we're still holding our head up high and going on.
Absolutely. And that's what it's all about. So, and I asked you this the last time you came on. What would you like the listeners to do and the viewing audience to do for you to help out in this great appeal that you're doing for your dad?
Well, basically, I need them to give me publicity, give my father publicity support of saying that he should get, you know, an NAACP Black Award on national television. They should do that. If, you know, if they look at Black history, I feel my father deserves that. And I look for someone to volunteer, you know, and for publicity support, great people like stars, but athlete stars, you know, to come in, support the history of my father, to let it be known to my era and the era back of me and the era in front of me, to know about my father's history.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What do you think about that, P.A.?
History is important because of two things. If you don't know your history, you don't know where you came from. And if you don't document your history, somebody else will do it and they won't get it right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, absolutely. Well, I think that's important. And so say hello to your team member, Elijah. He made it down here. He skidded into the Skid Row Studios right there. We know you had a few car issues, but he made it in. So so you are number two of our team members that we are introducing today. Since we're doing something brand new right here from the Los Angeles Skid Row Studios, we wanted to make sure that everyone gets a chance to see and hear the Variety Talk team. So, Elijah, we'll be talking a little bit more about this later on, particularly when we have Mr. Phillips when he comes in and talks to us as well about what happened with his dad. And you'll have an opportunity. I think this is a surprise. You haven't had a chance to hear the theme song. So we've got that waiting for you, too. All right. So
it'll be a privilege, you know, and I just want to thank P.A. for coming down. I mean, he is part of Black history itself. Definitely.
Absolutely. We were just talking about that and the photojournalist work that he's been doing and the fact that he works as an activist. I don't know. I like to call him an angel myself. I've seen him do so many things that have been so helpful. All right. So the other thing we want to do is kind of back it up a little bit. And speaking of teamwork, I had a wonderful time jumping in the back seat and driving right down in the middle of Hollywood with the both of you, both you and PA. And hey, we put our party hats on and we had our mics and our cameras. And man, did we have a ball, right? We had on our dancing shoes and we looked so cute. So why don't you start first and tell us a little bit about what you thought about Oscar night?
What I thought about Oscar night, it was a privilege to be there and an honor to meet people like Miss Chaka Khan and other great celebrities that was there. It was so many I can't hardly remember, but it was so full of life and laughter and you know, I was wondering what's going to happen next. I was just enjoying myself so much. The people, Mike Tyson, and, you know, meeting all these people, being around these people, so much of an honor, and, you know, an honor to see people get awarded for all their hard work.
Yeah.
You know, it's just amazing.
It is amazing, isn't it? And you know what I thought was the best part outside of the red carpet was how, and just I'm just talking about this one particular Oscar party. But the fact of the fact that everyone was celebrating that night, and there was so much feelings of happiness, and everybody being happy for the other. I've never seen so much of a blending of people before at these parties. Everybody just seemed to be genuinely happy and filled with love, and it was a loving experience. I know at least the night that we were together there at that one particular Oscar party. It was really, really great. And what was so wonderful was to see, I have to say this. I only become a groupie for very few people. And I was the biggest groupie for Jeff Goldblum. I just absolutely, when I saw Jeff Goldblum, I thought I was just, like, melt. And I looked up and went, Jeff Goldblum. And I hugged him. And you know what was so touching to me was to see that he is just so gracious. And he just, and he's like he is, exactly like he is on The Fly and on Powder and all the films that he plays on, you know. And that's why I love him so much, because he's not your everyday person. He really plays those roles that are meaningful, that help people. And when I saw him, he was just so laid back and so cool. So wait till you see the interview with Jeff Goldblum. You are absolutely going to love it. Speaking of which, PA, I know you're putting those things together so we can put them right up on Facebook. But everybody, just hang tough for that Jeff Goldblum interview. He is wonderful. But not to mention that, we had Chaka Khan. We had Albie Shore. Go ahead, PA. Go ahead with the rest of them.
Oh, it was Sherry Payne, the singers. You always have to remember the singers. And we had a teenage singer up there, too.
Yeah. And then who was emceeing that night? He was really great, and that's a shame. He's going to kill us for not remembering his name.
The ex. Not ex. But he is an ex. Ex-foster child. Tommy
Davidson. Sorry, Tommy. But no, anyway.
He had a nice story to tell, that he came from foster care, and now he's made it, and a few other people there from foster care, and that's what that fundraiser was about, raising money for foster care children who are kicked out the system when they're 18 years old. And that's another activist role you could take on. Just because you're 18 doesn't mean you're going to have a job and a place to live, but the system kicks you out.
Exactly. And so PA, thank you, because you're pulling up for us all of the activist topics that we're going to be talking about for the next few weeks coming up, everybody. But yeah, it was great. Tommy Davidson, Chaka Khan. Oh man, it just goes on and on. Jeff, oh, let's not mention the picture I took with Mr. Mike Tyson. Oh, his bodyguard wouldn't let him do any interviews. You notice that? He was just like pushing him right along. But you know what? Hey, I wanted to be like Mike, and I got a great picture. So everybody stay tuned. Make sure you check out Facebook, Variety Talk with Linda Leake. And we're going to take a quick station break. And when we come back, we've got the man with the plan who put this whole thing in his hand. All right? It's Mr. Jeremy Hansen. So hang tough, everybody. You're listening to Variety Talk with Linda Leake. We'll be right back.
Oh, okay.
Twerk that thing like a cat in nine. Now twerk for your mama, make it right. Now
swing
it from side to side. Now
shake for your mama, gay.
Twerk that thing like a cat in nine. Now
shake for your mama, gay.
Swing the hips from side to side.
Now
twerk it
back on me. Turn up in the club, feeling good, and it's off the chain. Crowded up in here, getting hard to breathe. Be blasting, bouncing off the wall. Everybody on the dance floor getting on. Me and my boys on the Friday, we on the green. Looking for some super freaks. Ready to feel somebody heat. Back it up on me, baby. I think it's time I make my move. She bending over, touch the flow. Shake and move and let me know. No, I can't take no more.
Turn it up, flow shaking, ass quaking, body trembling on me, can't take it. The way she moves got me stuck in a fantasy. I'm about to grind back on her and bust the scene. Bottle popping in this place, yeah, we VIP. I brought my whole team with me, West Coast G's.
Shit is shaking and I'm breaking it up. Don't wanna move.
Elijah?
Yeah, I'm on here.
Okay, hang tough.
Hey.
And we're back. Hey there, Jeremy. I love the way you did that. See, real professionalism. Everybody, you have got to check out the studio. One day, we are going to actually come in here with our cameras. PA, can you do that? And we're going to just, like, go through here so everybody can see how wonderful these Skid Row studios
are. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Oh, Jeremy, I tell you. See, you jumped in there without me giving you that grand introduction because everybody needs to know who you are and what you are doing. So, everybody, this is the gentleman who has put together, I mean, some real creative thought in terms of what he wanted to do and how he wanted to do it. And I'm telling you, I'm astonished because all I do is just come in and get behind the mic. And I used to run the board.
But
to walk in this studio and see something like this put together, I'd like to introduce to you, Variety Talk family, the owner, the man with the plan of the co-founder and crash test dummy, Mr. Jeremy Hansen.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Welcome to the show.
It's great to have you guys here.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here. Then tell us a little bit about who you are and what you put together here. This is great.
Oh, okay. Well, my name's Jeremy, and I kind of started off in the computer industry. And I always had a love for talk radio and started this out of my apartment, you know, real small. One microphone, a laptop, and people started coming over. And we spoke earlier about Melvin Ishmael Johnson from The Qumran Report, which is one of our other shows here at the studio.
Mm-hmm.
They were one of our first shows. So the inspiration comes from the Skid Row area and the art and the talent and the beauty that comes from Skid Row, and wanted to give people the ability to get on the mic and speak their mind.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you, you talk about speaking your mind. I come from a little small station. I've been down there for about 4 years. And so it's nice to, like in the Jeffersons, we moving on up, everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just like one little desk and a seat for three folks. And I'm running the board. And I remember when I first came in and they gave me my show live and they were like, okay, well, you got to do this and run the board. I'm like, run the board? Wait a second. I just want to be a talk show host. I have to run the... And now, you know, I kind of miss it. I feel like awkward today because my fingers aren't moving and I'm not pushing those buttons. So it's kind of weird.
But yeah, no, we try to make things, you know, we try to allow our hosts to really just focus on their show. And each one of our shows has their own board op to run things and try to do whatever you need to do your show.
This is awesome. Well, we are certainly appreciative of being right down here and in the mix of the community. So what gave you the idea to come down and to give it, call it the Skid Row Studios?
I've lived in downtown Los Angeles for about 14 years now.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been an area that's been interesting to me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It can be an area where I think a lot of people look at that area and they might have a bad idea about what it is, but I always kind of looked at it as a place to give people who need an opportunity, you know, that chance to come up and really change their life around.
Yeah.
So I never really had that completely negative view that some of the outsiders might have. You know, there's still people in Los Angeles who you mentioned downtown, and they're like, oh, well, why would you want to be down there?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I really see it as a great combination of a lot of new things going on, and through the studio and through Melvin, able to keep in touch with what's going on in that community as well. So, yeah, I just have a respect for that area.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Know? Where they need a voice as well. And that is so important because, I don't think that there probably have been many platforms in the past where they do have a voice. And there's so much happening within this community.
Yeah.
That is, there's a new facelift going on. There's a new...
Building.
Yeah, and it has a new sort of... ambiance, for lack of better words, that's being built around Skid Row, right? So it's not the same Skid Row that people used to think.
Yeah, definitely not. It's been changing quite a bit. week to week, mm-hmm. I see something new mm-hmm. popping up, you mm-hmm. know. Mm-hmm. I wasn't there last week, you
yeah.
know.
Yeah, I mean, you know. There's beautiful, like Nola's is right down the street, beautiful nightclub.
Right in the
Nola's
artist district.
Awesome cuisine. Nola's, if you're listening, all right, we want lunch next week. But anyway, but actually really great. And the homes and the apartment buildings that are being built. And there's a great playhouse where there's plays and things that go on right down the street. So yeah. There's a lot that is just cropping up, as you're saying, just new things all the time. And it's really wonderful. So everybody, make sure you get on down here and check it out. It's not what you thought it was before, but you need to be right here in the heart with the people.
You don't have to buy anything. You can just walk around and look at the people. And that's entertainment.
Yeah, I mean, for Los Angeles, you know, it's one of the places you can go to and still see that old architecture, and, mm-hmm. and you get that feel for the 20s and 30s and 40s if you look at the old buildings. And,
yes.
And yeah. I just find a lot of beauty in that. Mm-hmm.
They preserved them pretty good, pretty well. They preserved them very well. So what are your plans, Jeremy? I mean, you're 3 years in. What are your plans for these studios?
You know, for me, it's just building a solid foundation. This is something that I want to exist for a long time, as long as we possibly can. Mm-hmm. So my main concern, a lot of what I think about, is how can we build that foundation so we can sustain ourselves? Because, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes, you know, people, they put together this great effort mm-hmm. and do these great things for the community, but you know, the foundation might not be there, so mm-hmm. it doesn't last as long as they would like it to. Mm-hmm. So my main concern is I want to just be around for a long time. I want this place to be something that when some people come through mm-hmm. Los Angeles, they say, hey, let's go check out Skid Row Studios, mm-hmm. you know.
Awesome. Well, you're here at the right time, right when everything is transitioning, you know,
yeah.
and has transitioned so that you would become a landmark. In the future. Elijah, you're still on. We hear that voice back there in the background trying to get in. Are you still on with us, Elijah?
Okay, this is Prophet Elijah. I'm still on listening. It's a privilege to be on today.
Okay, well, we thank you for hanging in there with us. We kind of went to a commercial and got to a new subject. What do you think about Jeremy and these Skid Row Studios?
I think it's very fabulous, and it's an honor to be able to be on air with the Skid Row Studios.
All right. Well. How much time do we have left, Jeremy? Like 2 minutes?
You got like 2 minutes.
Oh, wow. So we're going to have to wrap this up pretty quickly. The first thing we want to make sure we let everyone know, and thank you, PA, for this, is to remember that daylight savings time, okay, everybody, is tonight. So make sure that you roll those clocks back. And I don't know, will they be seeing this today? I don't know. See, we're so used to being live, but this is a tape.
I can tell you that the video mm-hmm. Version of this will be up on YouTube by tomorrow.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. So yeah. We want to make sure everybody check out YouTube, and we're going to be passing this on to Facebook and everything. But make sure you check us out, okay, because we've got a lot to say. This show is all about people helping people, Variety Talk, Reach One, Teach One. And we're going to have you call us also at 1-800-893-9562 in the upcoming weeks. Not today, of course. This is our brand new day, so we just wanted to get on and say hello to you. But in the future, 800-893-9562. And, hey, you know, just tell us what you think. And if you have a business or product or service and you'd like to share with us what's happening with you, we can bring you right on in here to these studios as well, okay? So, everybody, we appreciate all of your love and your support. And make sure you continue to check us out. All of you Variety Talk fans, we're switching you over from 89.5 and KTST FM. We're no longer doing that. We're going to be on various shows, including the Skid Row Studio, minimum of once a month. We will be on Time Warner, Charter, YouTube, Facebook, and many, many other places where you can catch our show. And if you'd like to join us, go ahead and go to Linda leak@yahoo.com. Just drop me a line and I'll be sure to get back with you. Okay. So everybody, welcome aboard to our brand new show, our brand new studios. And Jeremy, thank you so much. You were awesome. We appreciate you so much. And we are down, counting down 11, 10, 9. So everybody, make sure you drive to stay alive. And Christine B. Leak, we thank you so much. And Jeremy, take us out.
Work for the love.